Amen. You can be seated. Good morning. All right. Well, I'm excited to be here and welcome to church. Those of you who don't know, my normal in-house joke is, this is the accent in heaven. See, I've used it too much. I've ruined it. Well, good morning. We are very excited about this building season that we're in. And of course, there are many different things that are happening that make it difficult to give you an accurate account of what's currently happening. Does that make sense? Things change. For example, you might find out something that cost $1,000 now costs $100,000. It's little things like this. It's just wild. Yeah, not quite, but kind of. So we're giving you as much detail as possible so that you are informed as much as we are. And we're really excited. This is what I do know, is God already knows what the end looks like. Amen? He's already seen the finished product. And so our job is to remain faithful and to not become like the 10 spies who start whinging and complaining. Amen? We're not a whinging church, are we?
No.
No complaints?
No.
But if you do have any, email Ellie at... All right, let me pray and then we'll get right into it. Lord, we just thank you for this privilege of gathering around your presence this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that as you speak, and we know you still speak to people, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open to receive all that you have. And Holy Spirit, I pray that this morning this word would minister to people, Lord, who are stuck in a season. Lord, we know that you work in seasons in our lives, and there are things that you do, you operate, you heal us, Lord, you forgive us, and Lord, of course, you strengthen us. And so this morning I pray, Lord, that a sense, a beautiful sense of your Holy Spirit's presence, Lord, will be felt this morning, Lord, as we sit under your word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. 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 Well, this morning, the word, what I felt like... is to not do a series, but to allow God to minister into this season of where we are at as a church. I know that churches do series. It makes things a little bit more packaged and cleaner and easier to swallow. But what I've really felt is to not put a series or a whatchamacallit, anything over the top of this current season that we're in. And, you know, this is a journey. I think of it like... the Israelites have left Egypt and they are on the way to the promised land. Amen. And they didn't know what the challenges were that they were going to face in that journey. And we are literally on our journey from Walnut Creek to the border of Walnut Creek and Lafayette as a church. And there are many things that come up along that journey. And so I felt like it was important for us to be ministering into those things as that happens. Not that we're led by those things, but to minister in so that we can remain in a place of faith and remain in a place of strength. And so this morning, what I felt like God was putting on my heart was the process of becoming Christ-like. The Christ, the perfect high priest. So if you're taking notes, the title today is Becoming Christ-like. Now, does anybody here want to be more like Jesus? Yes. It's an easy question, but a far more difficult thing to actually achieve. I want to be more like Jesus. That statement alone is an attack on your flesh. It's a less Mark, more Jesus. That's a challenging proposition. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, and you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Now, just for clarity, the goal is not the imitation of Paul, it's the imitation of Christ. That is the ultimate goal, for us to be Christ-like. That means in all things. It means in thinking. It means in our response to the trials, the temptations, and the challenges, and the hardships that come at us in our everyday life. The way and the manner in which we respond to those things is being Christ-like, is to be Christ-like, and not to get stuck in self. And it's It's a great scripture to read, but boy, oh boy, doesn't life just make it tough sometimes to be Christ-like? And I'll say, you just have to drive on the 680. To be Christ-like is very difficult on the 680 sometimes. Not everyone drives with Jesus in mind. You could be minding your own business and everything is fantastic and you're in a very comfortable season, but then all of a sudden you get a phone call. Or you get called into the boss's office. Or your girlfriend or your boyfriend wants to have a chat. Or as you get older, a body part suddenly decides to not work anymore in the cold weather. Everything can be fantastic. And this is what happens with these interruptions, is they seem to come out of nowhere. All of a sudden, I'm now wrestling and fighting with something. And for some of you, I have grace or compassion for, because you've been in a season for quite some time. You've been wrestling with something and you haven't been able to break free and move forward with whatever that thing is. It says in James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's a bold statement. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So the author here has a very obscure perspective of a trial. My first initial response to a trial is to run from it and reject it. No one likes going through trials. But the word here is challenging us to think about the trials that we go through from a completely different perspective, almost upside down, opposite. We are to think of them as a joyful thing. Count it all a joy. Yay, I'm in debt. Or yay, my marriage is on the rocks. Woohoo! It's kind of doesn't make sense, right? It's kind of opposite to how you would think things should go. And this is the same thing that when trials seem to come out of nowhere, they seem to happen when I feel like I'm doing good. It's like everything's going fantastic. Now, some of you are familiar with Ellie and I's story. When we were about to get married, we were part of a church, a local church, and the church was going through a building campaign, much like what we're doing right now. And we were combining our finances at that time, and we were wanting to work out what we were going to do as an act of faith towards the building. And so I said to Ellie, what you should do is go in one room and relax and write down and listen to God and write down what you believe God has said. And I'm going to go into a different room and then I'll write down my figure of what I believe God said. And then when we come back together, we'll take the smallest one. No, I didn't say that. I said, when we come back together, we'll show each other what it was and what we believe God said. And lo and behold, it was literally the same amount. And for us, it was a significant amount. It was a step of faith. We were passionate about our local church. We wanted to build God's house. And so that was a pretty awesome confirmation that we were hearing from God. And so we wrote that down. We put the amount into the offering. And you would think from that moment forward that everything was going to be fantastic and everything was going to be wonderful. And now money is going to fall out of the sky and God's going to bless us and everything's going to go fantastic. But no, the opposite happened. You know, after all, we'd only ever heard from the Sunday stage people talking about generosity and giving. We'd only ever heard about it in the context of some random lady named Pam who decides to, for the first time in her 50 years of being a Christian, give $20 in an offering, and then the next week she receives a check in the mail for $275,000, which is the exact amount for her mortgage. I would hear stuff like this thinking, man, this is awesome. God's going to bless me. It's going to be fantastic. I'm a person of faith, and we're moving forward, and everything's great. But for some reason, I don't know why, God decides to reveal his Jehovah Jireh nature to some people, but what God revealed to us is God works in mysterious ways. That's what God revealed to us, because a few days later, after we had made that decision to step out in faith, I fall off a skateboard. That's not God's fault, I know that. But I fall off a skateboard and break my arm in 18 places. And it took over a year to recover. It was a horrible break, and it was a horrible experience. Now, so just we're on top of the mountain, Ellie and I. We're getting married, right? We're moving in now. It's going to be awesome. And I fall off this skateboard, and our whole world falls apart because I broke my arm. We were supposed to get married at one of Australia's most amazing beaches. It's called Clovelly Beach, and it's in the northern suburbs of Sydney, and it's like this beautiful cove. It doesn't matter because my arm was so broken, I was in a wheelchair. I wouldn't be able to do the wheelchair on the sand. So we had it all set out, and it just all fell apart, and we had to move to our pre-renovated church building, which had a 1970s kind of brown palette decor. So it was not the most attractive place to get married. But because of that, because I broke my arm, we had to move location. Now, because I broke my arm, we had to cancel our honeymoon to Thailand. And to this day, every time we have Thai food, Ellie reminds me that we still haven't been to Thailand. I wonder what this tastes like in Thailand. How's your arm, by the way? Now, because I broke my arm, we couldn't go to our honeymoon. And because I broke my arm, I lost my job. And my job was actually a very high pay. I've just made the biggest pledge with Ellie to God, and literally everything is falling apart. I lost my job. I was working on the wharfs, earning a lot of money. I was bringing in some big coin. And now because I lost my job, Ellie and I lost the apartment that we were about to move into. Because what must have happened, not to this day, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure I can guess, is one of our references would have rung up and the people checked, leasing agent rang one of our references and they said, I feel so sorry for Mark. He just broke his arm and lost his job. So we completely lost our, thank you very much for giving that information. So now I'm not moving into our new apartment. There's a very high possibility I'm moving into my in-laws. So now that would have been challenging. Three doors down from Ellie's parents, our bedroom, and I would maybe get the opportunity to be the second head of the house if I was lucky. I lost my job. I broke my arm. We lost our apartment. We lost our honeymoon. Every single thing that could go wrong went wrong. It all goes great. I was watching other people get blessed, but we were now unexpectedly in a trial season. We're in a trial season, and you don't wish to be in a trial season, and you don't plan to be in a trial season. Sometimes trial seasons, they just unannounced come upon you, and now you find yourself trying to work out which way's up. And I'm sure there's people here this morning who can relate what it's like to go through something that's really, really challenging. Here are two things that we believe about Jesus. Jesus was born sinless, but Jesus wasn't born the perfect high priest. He was made the perfect high priest. Hebrews 5:7 says this, while Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. This is important. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. In this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest. And he became, so he was not, and then he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. And God designated him to a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Before Jesus was qualified by God as the perfect high priest, he had to overcome suffering, temptation, trials, and disobedience to God's perfect will. These are the challenges that Jesus went through. Hebrews 5:9 says, in this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest, and he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. And listen to it, he became the perfect high priest. What qualified Jesus pre-cross to be our source of eternal salvation? I believe it's three things that qualified Jesus pre-cross. One is that he is the Son of God. Two is that he was sinless. And three, he completed God's will. He completed God's will. Listen to Jesus' words in John 17:4. It says, I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. He completed God's work. And when you think about it, he, in order for him to be the Son of God, for us to be able to recognize that, he would have had to fulfill every Old Testament prophecy about who he was. Amen? So, my point, Hebrews 4:15 says, the high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of those same testings we do, yet he did not sin. He did not sin. He did not once ever fall short of the glory of God. What is the definition of sin? Missing the mark. Wish it could have been a different name, but it is. Missing me. My point is, Ellie and I were going through it. And I believe that there's people here this morning, maybe right now you're going through something and it's really challenging. Maybe the fact that you're going through something, we know Jesus also went through every challenge that we were facing. So in hindsight, everyone goes through it, but it wasn't all for nothing, because God uses these experiences to make us more Christ-like, ultimately drawing us closer to himself. So whatever you're going through right now, maybe the encouragement this morning is to actually challenge and change the perspective that you have towards that trial. Maybe it's time to actually start asking God the question, what are you wanting to teach me? What are you wanting to do in my life because of what you want to do through my life? God, are there things that I need to stop doing? Are there things that I need to start doing? God, what thinking needs to adjust? You know what? In hindsight, if I had the opportunity to go back in time and tell myself to not get on that skateboard, I wouldn't. I would let my skinny surfer little body go flying down the hill. I'd break my arm again, because now when I look back at the seasons that are ahead and I have the advantage of hindsight, I think about the seasons that we've gone through here in America and the seasons that I've gone through in my life. And it was in those foundational formative years, God was actually building in Ellie and I a strength, a foundation in him, that when challenges and hard times come against, we're able to stand and stand firm and stand strong and continue to move forward with faith. Maybe the thing that you're going through right now is not a setback, it's a setup. God is doing and stretching. It's painful and it's frustrating. I get it. But we have to allow ourselves to God to renew our mind and count it a joy. And let's read that one again. James 1:2. I would have told myself back then to buy Bitcoin. James 1:2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Maybe we've been looking at our trials and our sufferings incorrectly. Maybe the storm that we are trying to run through, Jesus is wanting to help us. The storm that we're trying to run from, Jesus is wanting to take us by the hand and help us run through, so that we can get to the other side and celebrate what God. You know, I have a sneaking suspicion that the reason God allowed Ellie and I to go through a financially challenging season, because I obviously lost my job in the first few years of our marriage, was because God was setting us up for the COVID season that we went through here. Now, this might be an outlandish creative license theory that I'm thinking through here, but the amount of pastors who quit ministry during the COVID season was unprecedented. The amount of churches that closed because of COVID. And even Ellie and I we were in a season where church was flourishing. We had launched out and we had multiplied to two services and everything was fantastic. And then obviously COVID hit and it's like everything fell apart. And it's like, God, did you call us? God, was this you? Or did we make a mistake? But you know what? When you have those low, challenging, dark moments, God can take you back even further to other trials that you've been through, and you can draw from those moments, remembering and praising and thanking God for what he got me through that, then he can get me through this. He healed me there, he can heal me again. There's a breakthrough that I've experienced before. Well, I'm going to believe again for another breakthrough of what God can do. Don't get stuck in your current trial. Don't quit in your current trial. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister and allow God to do what he can do on your behalf that you cannot do. It takes faith and it takes trust. I believe we do the natural and God does the supernatural. Amen. I believe we learned how to trust God for his provision. When I was no longer the sugar daddy and lost all of the big money, I'm like, man, we can't even afford to eat out. We can't even afford to buy a can of Coke. That's how on the line we were. But every single time, God would provide. God was always there and he did incredible things. We learned how to hear God's voice. There's a lot of loud voices in a trial season. There's a lot of competition. We learned how to not quit. We learned how to remain obedient to what God said. And this is an important one. We learned how to discern the difference between man's voice and God's voice. There were so many voices in that season that were telling us, listen, it's not wise for you to financially give what you declared and had heard from God because you've lost your job, things are upside down, you need to press pause or cancel what you believe God spoke to you. And they were well-meaning people, people that we looked up to, people that we love. But we had heard God's voice. We had heard God's voice and we were trusting God. And so we were going to continue to move forward. And that's when God continued to provide every single time. Every challenge, every check, every opportunity, there was always provision for what God had called us to do. I think the reason why Exchange Community Church didn't close down over COVID is not because of how many people left the church. It's the fact that, or the fact that we didn't have a building and couldn't reopen because we meet in a school. I think that's because some of the lessons that Ellie and I learnt in that first season actually became a foundation to help us. So the question this morning is this, is what challenges or what trials have you been through that you can think back on that can help you get through the current trial that you're in? What are some of the things that you can look back to and say, God? I know what I and Ellie have done many a time when this wild roller coaster of a ride, we're trying to work out what's up and what's down, we can look back to God. And thank God for other people in Exchange who have also learnt this lesson to not quit and to continue to move forward in faith. Trials leave trails of man's failures or God's triumphs. Trials leave trails. You get to choose the trail that you leave. You can choose to do it your way, or you can choose to trust God and say, God, I'm going to give you control, which literally and practically means that you're going to do it God's way. So instead of seeking revenge in the trial, you don't seek revenge, you seek forgiveness. And instead of doing it your way, we do it God's way. So here are some quick thoughts on how to be more Christ-like. Hebrews 5:7, which is our key text today. While Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence of God. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. So two things that I see from this scripture is that Jesus had a deep reverence for God, and there was obedience during suffering. There was obedience during challenging times. Number one, deep reverence. When looking into what it means to live a life of deep reverence and doing some research on this, there was one word that kept coming up, and the word is worship. A deep reverence. What does it mean to have a deep reverence? Do you know, in your darkest moment, worship. In the most challenging season that you've been in, where you can't see the solution, worship. Just sit down, still your heart, focus your mind on God and worship. And watch and see the exchange take place of your thoughts for his. Just worship. Watch and see and hear and listen all of the arguments, all of the ungodly thoughts start to break down and be replaced with scripture, with promises from God's word. When it hits the fan, worship. Number two, obedience during suffering. To suffer for Christ means to experience hardship, persecution, or opposition because of one's faith in Jesus. But it also involves a spiritual dimension of dying to self and participating in God's work. Suffering is a consequence of living according to Christian values in a broken world. That's where it comes from. And the suffering that we experience now, that we have to go through, there's a reward at the end of that. God is actually shaping you and molding you into Christ-likeness so that we can be more intimate with God. And so when I think of the season that's ahead of us now as a church, that we're moving forward, there are going to be trials along the way. And there might even be some suffering. There might be some things that we need to go through as a church. But do you know what? We're going to worship. We're going to still our heart and remain obedient. We're going to have a deep reverence for God because God is the one who's carrying this. You know, I love this. God, he already knows what this project looks like completed. He already has seen the completed project. Now, I believe that as people of faith, it's our responsibility to get it into our heart and into our mind, the finished product, to actually start seeing it before we see it, to start praising before the victory. And then once we see it and we start to see what God's doing in the building, it changes our perspective and our faith towards it. And of course, as you know, our heart as a church, the building is not the goal. It's the people. It's relationship with Jesus. It's introducing people to Jesus. It's Jesus healing relationships and healing friendships. It's Jesus at the center. It's Jesus at the beginning and Jesus at the end. We as a church are unashamedly going into that area to take spiritual ground for Jesus. God has got us on a holy mission to see people's lives transformed. Because we know that we live in an area where people are substituting for what God should be, for where God should be in their heart. And they just don't know. And maybe they've got a bad impression, but we get to change that and turn that around. And that's why God's called us to not quit and to continue to move on. You know, I would have never thought that part of my testimony to be able to stand here today began with falling off a skateboard. I would have never thought that God could take something so obscure, so silly, I should have made it, and something so silly like that, that God literally stopped me in my tracks. I was on a path, but God, it got my attention. It wasn't God it was my uncoordination, unfortunately. But God used that, and now, all these years later, I can praise Jesus for what he's done. It literally changed the trajectory of my life. How good is God? You know, there's some things in your life, there are some things in your life right now They may have happened and may not have happened yet. God can use that to change the trajectory of your life, to use in a powerful way to see you reach more people, be more effective for him, to experience his love in a deeper way, to be more connected to him. I'm going to encourage you over this next season, if you're in a trial season, it's to take time and worship. Take some time before God to say, you know what, God, I'm going to stop complaining to you about, and by the way, an omniscient God who knows everything. I'm going to stop telling you what you already know and start praising you for what you can do. I'm going to start lifting up your name and thanking you in worship moments to see that whole thing turn around. You know what? The season that you're in now, right now, is not the season that you came from. So don't you believe the lie that the season you're in now will never change. God is in the business of changing people's seasons. He is in the business of pulling people out of seasons, maybe self-inflicted seasons that we get ourselves into, but that's the God that we serve. So there's hope in this house. There is a hope for a future because of what Jesus can do. And so God, this morning, I pray, Lord, that if any of us have gotten stuck, God, I pray, Lord, that there would be a spirit of worship, Lord, over their house. Lord, over their secret place, their quiet place. God, I pray, Lord, that the sound of worship would be greater from their lives than the sound that the noise of the mess is making. God, I pray that your presence would be stronger, Lord, than the enemy's attempt against. God, I pray that there would be, Lord, a new measure of faith in people's hearts, Lord, to not remain stuck, but to move forward in faith. God, we thank you that there is victory in your name. Lord, we thank you that there is breakthrough because of the power of your Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that we would continually be the church, Lord, that doesn't get stuck in the past, but moves forward to the promise that you have. Lord, I pray the breakthrough Spirit, your Holy Spirit over every person in this room. Lord, as they leave this place today, they leave one step more confident, one step forward, Lord, towards their next season for what you have for them. God, we thank you that you're a good God. And Lord, we know that you leave no sheep behind. Lord, you go after the one. And Lord, if we're that one right now, Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, that you would lift us up and move us forward. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the power of your word. Lord, we thank you for your presence here this morning. And God, I pray, Lord, that this moment here would be carried in through the week, Lord, into our families, into our homes. And Lord, we just pray even right now over homes. Lord, a real peace of God over every home in this church. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are real and tangible, Lord, and very present. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Fantastic. I pray that you receive this encouragement this morning. As a church, I'm excited about the season that we are in and we're going forward. As Ellie mentioned this evening, we are going to have kind of a town hall moment where we talk about the different needs and the different opportunities of what present us as a church. There are potentially a few different things that we're looking at as a way to move forward, just in a nutshell so that everyone's on the same page here. The finances of how much it's going to cost is kind of a moving target. But what we do know as of right now, if we were to do the auditorium, which is basically what we see here, it's going to be around $800,000, I believe. We haven't got that bid back, but it's somewhere around that figure. The restrooms add about another $300,000. And so there's a bunch of things that are moving back and forward. We currently have in our savings account, I believe, $850,000, which is a miracle, by the way, of what God has done. It's so close we can see it. You can reach out and grab it. So there is a gap, and we're trying to figure out a strategic way to bridge that gap, and we can have a more detailed conversation about that this evening and try to brainstorm and come up with different fundraising ideas and come up with different strategies on how we stage out the building of what we're doing. And you're going to hear a whole bunch more details tonight about that, which is at, you can get the address online. 1031 Leland Drive. It's called Exchange Community Church, if you want to know. 1031 Leland Drive at 3 p.m. this evening. Everyone's invited. Please be warned that I think we have only a couple of working restrooms there. It is very much in a pre-renovated state right now, so does need some lipstick and deodorant. But we're gonna work on that as well. Hey, this morning, if God ministered to you, we're going to have some prayer partners that are going to be on the side, and we'd love to pray with you and connect with you. But and also, if you've never made a decision to invite Jesus into your heart, it is our privilege as a church to pray a prayer with you and seal your relationship with Jesus. So if you have not prayed that prayer and you would love to come and see one of the leaders or Ellie or myself or anyone that you've seen on stage, we'd love to pray with you and also introduce you to the life of the church and some of the wonderful stuff that we have happening here. So other than that, I hope that you have a wonderful week this week, and we shall see you either tonight at 3 p.m. or next Sunday. Have a great week. Hey, thanks again for taking the time to listen to our online service. If today's message blessed you, you can like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, or if you've got a question, you can email us at hello@exchangecc.com.